You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into this Tuesday episode here at Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day here every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. Help to support your local businesses, whether they're your favorite corner stores, coffee spots, or favorite shops. Local businesses have always been on your team, supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So let's be there for them. The next time that you go shopping, make sure that your choice is to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with contactless Visa to support your community, because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be an official partner of the NFL. No Victory Tuesday on today's episode of Locked On Saints. Instead, you get a Sad Boy Tuesday because the New Orleans Saints dropped their Week 2 opener against the Las Vegas Raiders in truly abysmal fashion. So let's go ahead and break it all down. We'll recap the game to start, then we'll take a look at the offense in segment 2, defense in segment 3. How did the Saints lose this game? Unfortunately, there are a lot of answers to that question. As always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and the Tuesday host of Locked On NFL. We got all that and a little bit of lagniappe for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. The New Orleans Saints fold in the NFL's first ever Las Vegas action, dropping the Monday night game against the Las Vegas Raiders 34-24. That's our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints.
Two things. We didn't possess the ball enough offensively, and then defensively very quickly we couldn't get off the field. And we're going to look at third downs. We're going to look at time of possession, the turnover right before the half. We're going to look at a number of things, but we got to do a better job coaching. I don't think it's going to be a real pleasant film to watch for some of our star players as well.
That was New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton giving his reflections in the opening statement of his post-game presser, crediting the loss to time of possession, third downs, and what he referred to as the turnover, which was just sort of the inexplicable interception thrown by Drew Brees at the end of the first half. Just why would you throw that? But we'll talk more about that in a moment. The Saints also had a couple of other big issues in this game, so we'll break all of that down. Just to get a little bit of a recap in here, the Saints started off looking great, actually. They went up in this game 17-7. Alvin Kamara being healthy, gosh, does that just make all the difference or what? He was outstanding in this game, one of the few bright spots for the New Orleans Saints, as they went on to then give up 24 straight points to go down 31-17. They picked up a score again late, another Alvin Kamara touchdown to make it 24-31 to put themselves in range in the final drives or in the final last minutes of the game. But unfortunately, we're not able to get enough when it came to getting a stop on the Las Vegas Raiders. And one of the big bugaboos for the Saints in this game was penalties. You saw it with a drive extending third down penalty by Janoris Jenkins with the pass interference on Henry Ruggs there. I understand you expect that 4.27 speed to kick in, but there was no way he was going to get to that pass. There was no way he was going to get to that ball. And the holding penalty, or not really holding penalty, but the pass interference penalty on Janoris Jenkins was just too much, and ended up pushing the ball further down the field against New Orleans to the point to where Las Vegas was actually in field goal range, or at least enough in field goal range to go ahead and add three more on top of their lead late in the game, so that instead of it being a 31-24 differential, it was a 34-24 differential. And that ended up being your final score as well. The Saints get the ball back with just about a minute left on the game clock without any timeouts to spare, and really just had no opportunity against Las Vegas. And at least from what we could see so far, no very, big injuries for the Saints. We saw a slew of injuries across the NFL this week, but thankfully the Saints seem to have, at least at this point, escaped unscathed in that way. But you could tell that the Saints missed Michael Thomas quite a bit in this game, particularly with their inability to be able to extend drives and hold on to the ball. But I don't really know that Michael Thomas would have helped this team in this game and in this condition. Drew Brees just did not look like himself, although he still completed 68% of his passes and threw for over 300 yards. the moment situationally, he just wasn't there when he needed to be. The defense did not at all hold up from what we saw in week one. So we'll gladly, and I'm happy to continue to break those issues and challenges that they had down here throughout the week. But I want to focus for the rest of this segment on a couple of big points here. Time of possession, as Coach Payton talked about, the Raiders 36 minutes and 18 seconds, the Saints 23 minutes and 42 seconds. The Raiders absolutely demolished the Saints in time of possession, and that was important. I know that some people don't believe that time of possession is important, but in a game like this, where the Saints only had 19 total plays out of their only 57 run plays in the second half, as opposed to the Raiders who had over 70 plays run on offense, time of possession matters. The Raiders put together seven straight drives of seven plus plays, which also included six straight drives of eight plus plays. They're able to eat the clock against the Saints defense and move the ball at will with their big weapon in Darren Waller in particular, who had over 100 yards and 12 catches in this game. He was absolutely outstanding, and the Saints had absolutely no answer for him. And that also extended to third downs as well. The Raiders converting on 10 of 17 third downs. So when you look at the way that they were able to extend drives, the big multi-play drives that they had, those eight plus play drives, all of that ended up being extended by them being able to convert on third down, again, going 10 and 17, where they also went 2-2 on fourth down. The Saints also gave them two third downs due to penalties, including a pivotal one late in the game as well. And the last point being those very penalties, 10 penalties for the Saints for 129 yards, as opposed to 3-13 by the Raiders. The Saints also had 119 penalty yards against Tampa Bay, so 248 total yards in penalties over the first 2 weeks of the season for the New Orleans Saints, and many of those coming off of pass interference penalties, which I'm sure you can imagine. So the Saints struggle here coming out in Las Vegas, not necessarily hitting the jackpot that they expected to hit. So if I'm being completely honest, it's just really surprising to see the Saints just go complete bust here under the lights on Monday night, where we expect that Drew Brees is going to look fantastic and the team is going to look fantastic. They simply didn't. And it wasn't just Drew Brees. It wasn't just the offense. It was the defensive side too. But we'll focus on the offense next. We'll talk about some of the big issues that they had in terms of their execution before we jump over to the defense here in just a minute. But one of the things you're never going to have to worry about when it comes to execution is rockauto.com. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. If you're having some issues with execution with your vehicle, that's one thing. But rockauto.com is always going to come through wherever you need it. Doesn't matter what make, what model, what year, what part. Does not matter. They're going to have multiple options for you. So go and check them out and let them know what it is that you're looking for. It doesn't matter if you need a new battery, if you need new windshield wipers, if you need new carpet, if you need a new tailgate. Rock Auto has got your back. So go and check them out, rockauto.com. They're a family business. They've been helping auto parts customers for over 20 years online, so you know that you can trust them. And don't forget that when you go and check them out at checkout, let them know that we sent you by writing Locked On in the How'd You Hear About Us box. rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts for your car that you'll ever need. rockauto.com. All right, Huda Nation, I know we were hoping for a victory Tuesday today, but like I said, you get the Sad Boy Tuesday episode instead. Now, let me be clear, like, I'm not sad. I understand that, look, sometimes things don't work out the way that you hope that they work out on the field. I get it. I understand. And again, it's September Saints football. We know they're not always going to be at their best. They started off 1-1 last year. They still managed to go 13-3. I also understand very much the conditions under which most NFL teams are operating, without any kind of a real off season, right? Because you're used to having so much more lead into the season. I'm not even just talking about preseason games, I'm talking about OTAs, everything else that teams didn't have, right? Because you usually go through training camp, OTAs, mini camps, mandatory and voluntary, before you even start practicing before the preseason games. Then you got 4 weeks of that before you jump into the regular season. So I get it. I understand. But I'm not going to really cut it. I'm not really going to cut anybody any slack here, because the Saints have the roster that they need. They have the game plan that they know will work. They have the game plan that has worked for years at this point. And the only reason that it's not working right now is not because they've been exposed or because any team or defense is starting to sniff them out. They're just simply not executing. So let me tell you what you are going to get today. you're going to get a very realistic look at how poorly the Saints played in this game, because there's no going around it. There's no going around that the fact that the Saints were horrid in this game. But I'm not going to be ready to, you know, sell Drew Brees down a river like some folks are. I'm not ready to see, you know, Taysom Hill come in and complete 48% of his passes. I'm not ready for any of that. That's not where I'm going to go at all. And that's not something I feel like is actually realistic at this point in the season. The Saints have always started off sluggish in September. We've been talking about, you know, people have been talking about moving on from Drew Brees in September for like 6 years now. So I'm not too worried about that. But what I'm not going to do is sugarcoat the way that this game looked and try to make anybody feel like the Saints had an excuse, because they didn't. They have incredible personnel, even without Michael Thomas. They have incredible personnel over on the offense. And in fact, that personnel performed, but the Saints, for whatever reason, ran away from it. I just want to talk a little bit about one thing that did go well, and it's Alvin Kamara, who averaged 6.1 yards per carry in this game. However, the Saints in this game, remember we talked about time of possession earlier on in the first segment. We talked about the Saints getting absolutely whooped when it came to time of possession and only running 57 plays as opposed to 76 as compared to Las Vegas. Well, the Saints didn't help themselves by only running the ball 19 times, even though they were averaging 5.9 yards on the ground, regardless of who was carrying it, whether it was, you know, Alvin Kamara or Latavius Murray or Ty Montgomery or hell, Taysom Hill, even in a couple of instances as well. The Saints had no chance in even getting to, you know, an advantageous place with time of possession because they didn't have the opportunity to do it because they had to throw the ball so much because the defense let them get down in the box score and in the, I guess you could say, in the game score. But I want to stick with the offense because I just want to acknowledge that, like, Alvin Kamara was fantastic in this game. Two touchdowns, 174 all-purpose yards, including 95 of them as a receiver, 79 of them as a running back and on the ground. Drew Brees actually had an efficient game. I know a lot of people are talking about how, you know, he just doesn't look like himself. And I think that that's true in a situational circumstance or in a situational context. When we talk about him as somebody that can usually throw receivers open, as somebody that is putting passes where only receivers can catch it, whereas somebody that can, you know, that is pinpoint, precise, accurate in that way, I didn't see that in this game. I didn't see Drew Brees create anything with his receivers. I saw him put the ball in places where receivers could make a play on it. He completed 26 out of 38 passes. That's still 68.4% of his passes, a really impressive day for most quarterbacks. But for the sort of standard that Drew Brees has set for the way that this offense has to operate, not good enough. He also was, he had 317 yards, one touchdown, and one just strange interception. I still don't understand why you throw that ball. I don't know if maybe he didn't see the defender. I don't know how you don't see the defender. I think that in his mind, he was going to get the ball over that linebacker and to Deontay Harris, but the actuality of it just did not get it there because he had the pressure up the interior. He had somebody, you know, he didn't have any real footing. He just kind of tried to jump and throw it, and it went about as you would expect it as you saw the play happening, unfortunately. The guys that we thought were going to step up in this game without Michael Thomas simply didn't. Or let me not say didn't, but like they weren't as much a part of the game plan as we would have liked to have seen. Jared Cook, 2 catches for 13 yards. He did score a touchdown, but that was his only catch until the final drive of the game where he had another reception. And speaking of that, Emmanuel Sanders had 1 catch for 18 yards, but it was the third to last play of the game in a drive that I didn't feel like the Saints, if I could just be honest, needed to be running plays for in the first place. I mean, especially considering the week 2 injury log that built up since Thursday. It's been nuts in the NFL this last week with the injuries. You lost Michael Thomas last week for 2 to 4 weeks on a play during a drive that you've had to feel like the game was already in the bag. So just kneel the damn ball and like keep everybody safe. I don't know. Maybe I'm being overly sensitive, but that was a moment where I kind of held my breath for those last 5 plays in that closing segment. I do want to also shout out one other bright spot, which was Tre'Quan Smith. I just talked about how Emmanuel Sanders and Jared Cook weren't big factors. I said that they weren't really a big part of the game plan. I don't actually know that. They might have been a big part of the game plan, but they were neutralized as factors. But here goes Tre'Quan Smith, who had 5 catches and 86 yards. And yeah, he had one big drop early on in the game, but I'm pretty sure that was the first big hit he's taken since January. So I didn't really hold that against him. But outside of that, he was really, really reliable actually during this game. So I was excited to see that and I was glad to see it. But you know, look, Drew Brees went out there. He completed passes to 9 different receivers. And of course, none of them were named Michael Thomas because Michael Thomas was unavailable for this game. And certainly not having Michael Thomas doesn't help your offense in any way, especially when you're in a position to where you have to pass the ball. And that's what happened to the Saints. This is the last point here to talk about the offense. And we'll come back and talk about it more tomorrow when I can watch the film and get a little bit more in depth in with the analytics of it. But I was able to track all of the personnel groupings throughout the game. The Saints ran 37 of their 57 plays out of 11 personnel. That's not a New Orleans Saints offense. The Saints like to diversify their offense and give you as many different looks as possible. Now, they ran 3 of those plays with Taysom Hill on the field. But that's really as much as they had an opportunity to diversify over 2/3 of their offense. And that's not what they like to do. They ran 15 plays out of 12 personnel as well, which is, you know, not a bad chunk of plays to sprinkle in there. But we have to consider that 3 of them only were run in the second half because the Saints only got to run 19 meaningful plays in the second half because they ran 5 when the game was already in the books and then 33 in the first half out of their 57 total set left only 19 plays during meaningful drives. And so, and that included a 5-play drive off of a turnover where they weren't able to cash in for any points. They also ran 2 plays in 22 and then 1 in each 21, 13, and of course, their field goal unit as well. So not a very diverse look from the Saints, not a very unique or exciting day for New Orleans on the offensive side, and certainly not a very effective one. And that's only for the offense. We haven't gotten to the defense yet, which we're going to get to here in just a moment. You know, I made fun of the Atlanta Falcons yesterday, and you know what? I'm going to do it again. They could have used some protein, man, because they dropped that 20-point lead that they had at one point, shutting out the Dallas Cowboys, who had all them turnovers, but it didn't matter because Falcons going to Falcon. They could have used some Built Bars. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. Dan Quinn, you need some protein in your diet, buddy. And don't worry, I'm going to give you a discount code here in just a little bit because I have the feeling that very soon you're going to be looking to save some money. So we're going to take care of you here. You got 18 great flavors over at BuiltBar.com, including 6 brand new flavors. 12 OG flavors as well, including some of my favorites like mint brownie, peanut butter, and of course, toffee almond. And you can try them for yourself over at BuiltBar.com because Built Bar has reset their promo code for their relaunch. You can get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. So head over there right now. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get $10 off your next order, whether it's your first or your next. Use promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off at BuiltBar.com. All right, Houdet Nation, wrapping up today's episode with a look at the defense. Oh, man, this is the one I have been dreading for a little bit of time. Before we get to it, let's talk about some happy news here for a second. We have grown exponentially here at Locked On Saints, and I thank you very much. New listeners, listeners that have been around for quite a while, everybody, I thank you so much for everything that you've done. Make sure that you share. Make sure you subscribe if this is your first time here in the show. Check us out everywhere, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever it is that you get your shows from. Make sure you subscribe, come through, share, let the Houdet Nation know, because I still think this is going to be a very special season for the New Orleans Saints, even though they drop this game tonight in Las Vegas on Monday Night Football, which again, it's just odd to see the Saints lose in prime time, to see Drew Brees underperform and underwhelm in on Monday Night Football in particular, as we talked about. Going into this game, Drew Brees, the top guy since he came into the NFL on Monday Night Football, most completions, most touchdowns, most yardage, all that good stuff. But he wasn't aided by any means by his defense, and his team did not win because of their defense like we saw last week. I got to talk a little bit about Darren Waller. I mean, the guy was just, I don't know if I should say ridiculous, impressive, incredible. I don't really know which way to go with it, but he was something else. And the Saints had absolutely, whatever he was, the Saints had absolutely no answer for him whatsoever. I think a lot of people have been pointing the finger at Malcolm Jenkins because the broadcast covered Malcolm Jenkins so much because, you know, look, Malcolm's back. He's getting second stint with the New Orleans Saints. He's got 2 Super Bowl rings, 1 with the Saints, 1 with the Eagles. And I think that, you know, it's a good enough storyline and, you know, certainly something for people to take a look at and for the broadcasters to talk about. But Darren Waller had 12 catches and 103 yards and one touchdown, and he made those catches credited against nine different defenders. I'm going to name all the defenders that Darren Waller has a credited catch against in this game. He had three against PJ Williams, only two against Malcolm Jenkins, one each against Trey Hendrickson, Marshawn Lattimore, Marcus Williams, Alex Anzalone, Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, CJ Gardner-Johnson, or CD Deuce, which was the touchdown that Darren Waller also scored. The Saints had no answer, and they tried everything. Everything. They bracketed the guy. They put zones around the guy. They went one-on-one with the guy. They tried to jam him off the line of scrimmage. Nothing. Nothing worked against Darren Waller. Darren Waller was an absolute G in this game, and the Saints could do nothing about it. And I think that that was a big part of why this defense ended up struggling, because you also had Josh Jacobs, who ran 27 times for 88 yards. Again, the Raiders here running a grand total of 35 times in this game. So continuing to control the clock, the Saints defense struggling on third down. They allowed 10 of 17 third downs to be converted. They also handed them two third down conversions due to penalty, as we talked about earlier. They had the two fourth down conversions as well. If the Raiders wanted it, they took it. If they wanted it, they got it, like Ariana Grande out on that field. It was something else. It was something to watch, because this defense, what we watched from last week, was outstanding up against Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and O.J. Howard, Cameron Brake, Rob Gronkowski, Tom Brady. Then all of a sudden, you get them out there against Henry Ruggs, Brian Edwards, and Derek Carr and Darren Waller, and they just fall apart, completely fall apart. And it was a shame to watch. And all the things that we talked about that we saw on film, we saw during this game, and the Saints were not able to stop. The Raiders didn't go deep down, didn't take deep shots in this game, not many. They went over the middle, crossing routes, just like we observed in the film study day that we had last week ahead of this Raiders game. The comeback routes worked. We saw them almost get there. We saw one comeback route to where Marshawn Lattimore almost jumped it. We saw another one where Janoris Jenkins almost jumped it, but for the most part, they weren't able to stop it when it happened. Derek Carr had a couple of nice, easy completions off of those comeback routes, but the Saints not quick enough to get there and to get ahead of it. And then we also saw them get absolutely played by pre-snap motion on a couple of different plays, not the least of which being the first touchdown at the goal line, where they motioned Darren Waller before the snap. He ends up going out wide. He's changing from one side of the field to the other. Derek Carr snaps the ball, looks to the right. Everybody thinks it's going to Darren Waller. And Derek Carr goes ahead and dumps it off to his fullback instead, Alec Ingold. And so he just waltzes into the end zone all by himself. But, you know, the pre-snap motion, those are all things that we observed. And we saw all the formations that we talked about. We saw the tight formations. We saw the trips bunch formations. We saw all of that in this game. The Las Vegas Raiders didn't do anything to try to really fool the Saints to be any different than what they put on film as recent as last week. And it didn't make any difference, because it worked. It worked every bit. And it was led, you know, all of it working was led by the two guys that we were most concerned about going into this game. When we talked about where the Saints needed to put their focus on locking down on the defensive side, it was a tight end position with Darren Waller and the running back position with Josh Jacobs. Now, Josh Jacobs ended up not really threatening the 100-yard rushing day. He also had some injuries that kept him off the field a couple times, but 88 rushing yards, that's some of the most, you know, one of the highest totals that the Saints have given up since 2017. And the Saints just really didn't have the answers that they needed over on the defensive side to do anything against Derek Carr. 28 of 38 in that game. He threw completions to 12 different players in this contest. He was just able to do what he wanted to do. I mentioned that he was surgical, that he was precise. He was all those things that he has always been, but doesn't get recognized for, because he's the same style of quarterback. I'm not saying he's the same type of quarterback or same level of quarterback, but he's the same style of quarterback as Drew Brees, who also doesn't get all of the glamour, everything outside of all of the records that he's set being in the league as long as he has and being as absolutely phenomenal as he's been his entire career. But Derek Carr was just able to pick and choose where he wanted to go with the ball. And of course, he had his Michael Thomas in Darren Waller, who had that type of a day to where he wasn't averaging a ton of yards each catch. He wasn't doing anything like that. He was just the guy that Derek Carr knew I could throw the ball to him and he's going to be fine because can't nobody cover him. And that was what you saw from the Saints defense in this day. And it didn't help that the pass rush wasn't really there for New Orleans either. Cam Jordan really has not been as big a factor as you would imagine over these first two games. I thought he had a nice game week one in terms of getting some pressures in, but you know, even you know, matching up with a rookie like Tristan Wirfs last week, you certainly expect, and we credited Tristan Wirfs last week for the job that he did against Cam Jordan, even though he gave up some pressures to Cam, he still wasn't as big a factor as what we're used to seeing in these games. And we saw it again. He was going up against a third string right tackle, a guard that was playing out of position at tackle because Trent Brown was out and his backup was out. And Cam Jordan was really nowhere to be found. No meaningful pressures in this game. He had a couple of nice moments, a couple of nice plays, but we just didn't really see him be the guy that we're used to seeing. Now, I think that Cam Jordan, Drew Brees, Emmanuel Sanders, I'll even throw in Malcolm Jenkins after the game that he had tonight that was not, you know, was not super great. I think that those veteran guys that are clearly very talented do deserve the benefit of the doubt and deserve a little bit of an understanding of what this offseason has meant and what it's been for some teams in their preparation. And clearly, it's not been great for the Saints in terms of where their preparation, where they thought they were in their preparation and where they thought they got versus where they actually are. Not the same thing. And so I'm willing to sit back and I'm willing to wait. As always, I'm happy to talk about how poorly the Saints played. I'm never afraid to talk about that, but I'm curious now to talk about where they can get better. And that's what we're going to put our focus on tomorrow. We talked about what went wrong today. We'll talk about how they need to fix it. Tomorrow, we'll continue to look at this game from the analytical side. And then if the film is ready, I'll do a bit of a film study. But if not, we'll just lump it into our previews and everything going on throughout the week. Don't forget, we've got crossover Thursday on Thursday with Peter Bukowski of Locked On Packers. And then we'll have our final review day on, or rather preview day on Friday, where we could do a little bit more film work as well. So look, I'm excited for this week. I'm excited to break this down and really talk about how it is the Saints lost this game, which we talked about today. And then next, talk about what they need to do to get better and improve to make sure that they don't have a repeat performance as they host Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers next weekend in the Superdome. So I thank you very much, as always, y'all, for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. Make sure that you come back tomorrow. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support. And for helping me grow this family, this has been Locked On Saints. And trust to that nation, I'll holla at you.